things are quieting down a little bit on the protein front, but we continue to track daily.
Well, I'm eager to talk to you a little bit about that, too. I think we've got a lot to cover in about 10 minutes, so let's go ahead and get started.
I'm ready when you are.
USDA released the details of its direct payment program, that $19 billion package. I wondered if you could speak to the thought process behind the adjustments that were made to the payment limits.
Surely. We used the Farm Bill payment limits of $125,000 initially when we indicated that. Frankly, several members of Congress reached out. We were in the proposal stage of developing the rules at that point in time. I talked to the president and indicated to him that that would exclude many of the hardworking producers that that really provided much of the food for America in that regard. And he indicated to me to make some adjustments. So we did, and I think it was interesting. We had a bipartisan communication from Republicans and Democrats to say that the $125,000 limit was just too low, and that thus we made that change. And you know, some farmers that have been very successful and have grown are going to be still very limited in getting a much lower percentage of their damages than those smaller farmers. So that's understandable, but that was the story behind that.
Is the USDA expecting the money to go quick?
Yes. This is a very quick program. Once we got all the rules in place through OMB and all the kind of checkoffs that you have in D.C., it never works as quickly as I like for it to. And from farm background, we're used to, you know, getting up and going to work and getting it done that day. But that doesn't work that way up here, as everybody knows. But the good news is our IT people already had the program in place. The software is ready, and they'll be ready to receive applications next Tuesday, the 26th of May, with we're hoping that checks will follow within a week to 10 days after that.
With the virus happening, and we know FSA staff are working with some limited staff in the office, and many are working from home, Mr. Secretary, those FSA employees have a full plate with everything that's going on. Will that have an impact on this enrollment or other programs currently underway?
Well, Kara, we hope not. Actually, our FSA staff across the country have worked tirelessly for the last 3 years, obviously with two MFP payments, with disaster proclamations, with the prevented plant last year. They've had their hands full, excuse me, with so many issues. But again, they rise to the occasion in light of the challenges of remote social distancing here. We talked yesterday with our Undersecretary of FPAC, and Bill Northey says that they have a plan for returning people to the office, and we hope there won't be significant delays. If there are and reported, then we will try to resolve those as quickly as possible. I know that people are anxious to get these checks in their hand, and we're anxious to get them out. Again, Kara, we'll be dealing with people that have not had a traditional history of registering with FSA, especially crops and maybe even livestock producers that are never dependent on the Farm Service Agency. So we'll have to collect some data there, and that'll take some time, but we're going to move as quickly as possible to process those.
While the USDA is, I'm sure, very busy rolling out this program, there have been some discussions about new aid to help farmers and ranchers through this COVID-19 pandemic. Does the USDA anticipate more is coming and preparing for that?
Well, we hope it is. I mean, admittedly, this is an estimate of damage. We don't really know what the applications will be. Our economists did his best work in trying to calculate the price differences, the damages on livestock, specialty crops, dairy, and others. But the fact is, this is going to be a real challenge in hitting the bullseye right in the mark. So we're going to be looking at where we may have missed the mark, and we don't believe this amount of money is adequate, frankly. I think Congress understands that as well. They did appropriate and replenish $14 billion in the CCC, the Commodity Credit Corporation, there, but that won't be available until July. We chose to use the remaining balance in the CCC of 6.5, along with a 9.5 that they appropriated in the CARES Act to begin a program more quickly, and that's hopefully what we can get done. And then we'll look at where the needs are that we may have missed from whatever sector there is, and then hopefully have more resources later on. I think Congress also recognizes that with all the challenges out there in agriculture, I think we're going to need more resources.
Transitioning a bit, Mr. Secretary, but still on a similar topic, we know you were at the White House yesterday for the formal announcement of these direct payments. And in that announcement, Mr. Trump had mentioned something about trade and cattle, and I wondered if you could clarify that for our farmers and ranchers. What did the president mean when he talked about terminating those trade deals?
Yeah, I think the president had read some articles about that sounds really good about limiting beef imports to the country, and I didn't have a chance to talk with him. That was a public comment there, and it didn't give an opportunity for us to discuss this program. I would tell him that we have really trade agreements, and we've been very concerned overall that the U.S. become a reliable supplier and a reliable agreeer to the trade agreements that we have. These things have been negotiated over a period of time. The USMCA is one of those. We have a relationship with Canada, Mexico, and to begin manipulating those types of results without, again, a renegotiation of these agreements may not have the same effect, the effect that he would like to have. So we'll have those discussions. We've heard considerations about that. The fact is, frankly, on a scale, the import of any kind of protein product in the United States is minuscule compared to the great production capacity we have in this country. And that's where the vast amount of our U.S. consumption comes from, is from U.S. producers.
So we shouldn't be concerned that after taking so long to get as part of this USMCA agreement that we may be leaving it?
I certainly hope not, and I don't think that's the president's desire as well. He, at the cabinet meeting yesterday, he was frankly bragging on that and talking about how the real value of our Canadian and Mexican relationships overwhelms even the China relationship, which we're continuing to fulfill.
When the COVID-19 pandemic is in the rearview mirror, how will agriculture look? Will there be more consolidation, more focus on the food chain? What are your expectations?
Well, Kara, we know that this is going to be economically and emotionally challenging for many people, livestock producers, people in the cattle and the pork business who've seen their markets disappear, especially crop producers. We hope that it will not lead to more consolidation. We think the strength of American agriculture is its diversity and in many producers. I'm encouraging, frankly, on some of this price issues that we see between cattle over wholesale and live cattle prices, that maybe producers ought to think more about co-ops in their own processing. We used to have a lot of beef processing across the country. Some federal rules kind of made that inefficient in that way. But I think we might need to go back to a more dispersed, diverse type of production and processing situation going forward.
Where are we at on the quality adjustments in the WIP Plus program?
Yeah, that's a good question. I had a conversation with Senator Hoeven yesterday about that. And honestly, we got kind of overwhelmed with the COVID response. But I put in a question yesterday to ask that exact thing of my FPAC people about where we are, and hopefully we can get that resolved as quickly as possible as well. It just kind of took second seat to the COVID response over the last 2 months.
The senator and I visited yesterday. It sounds like he's hopeful July. Is that reasonable time frame?
I think that's reasonable. Again, I don't have an answer that I inquired about yesterday, but I hope that I hope by July we can have that down. That's a pretty complicated thing when you look at. We knew it was going to be a complicated pursuit in the quality loss adjustment across the country, but I think that's a reasonable time period. Nothing ever up here in Washington, D.C. moves as quickly as I would like for it. Coming from the private sector and even from governor, you could get things done much more quickly than you can here in D.C., but I think that's reasonable. We want to do it right. We want to do it fairly, but we want to do it quickly as we can.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or anything you'd like to say about the SNAP program?
No, we've issued many, many waivers over the SNAP program, trying to implement the will of Congress and making sure that people were fed. We maximized their awards. We've authorized online purchasing in many states, and we also are authorizing pandemic EBT cards for free and reduced lunch kids there that go on an EBT card as well. So these are many things. I think, again, Kara, the other part of this $19 billion award, the $3 billion, which is not direct payments, is really taking the misaligned production of our American agriculture, be it specialty crops, fruits, vegetables, dairy, or meat, and having distributors purchase that from our farmers and then distribute it to food banks and pantries across the country. That's a very noble exercise that seems to be going well. There were like 198 awardees. This was done on a competitive basis, and right now we're looking to see if we missed any holes in it from a geographical standpoint or any sectors that way. But that's a great program for our those citizens most in need of food.